Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chris Steiner, Liberation Station Radio Show. The site is theliberationstation.com. That's theliberationstation.com, and I will be paying attention to your chats in the listen/archives page, which is the third page down in the navigation, and also streaming live at Facebook on facebook.com/wearechangedtampa, and I am about to do an audio check. Let the introduction music run a little long. Had a difficulty connecting on Skype to the studio, so glad you got to hear Chris Thiele's lovely, uplifting rendition of Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening. Thanks for expressing yourself, even if it's just sitting there silently radiating the natural radiance of your own soul into your environment and throughout creation. So I would love to sit there with you in solitude and silence, but that wouldn't work very well on a radio show. And be sharing over on the Republic Broadcasting's Facebook page the live stream, since I just did an audio check. So I will share it over here once start out playing the first clip in just a moment. And interspersed with the clips, we'll take your calls at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And troll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Please call that number only if your calling plan doesn't allow you to call the toll number of 512-248-8252. And please donate to RBN. They could really use it. Had a HVAC emergency that they had to dip into half of their funds. I got the email from Mike before my last show, which I wish I had read, and I should have announced that was the case. So keep RBN in the black, in a good position to not just stay, but not just keep going, but growing. And go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the Donate Now tab for your donation options there. I wonder if PayPal, I've been meaning to ask them if PayPal is a change of policy, their flip-flops and flips again, where they change their policies affecting RBN's operation, because if you don't speak politically correct or whatever the policy of PayPal is, that they can dock you $2,500, their policy just read and they changed it due to outrage, and they changed it back again. They re-implemented it. Of course, their lame excuse of it being a mistake the first time proved itself to be lame when they re-implemented it. So I know RBN speaks politically incorrectly often, or I shouldn't say RBN does. No one speaks for RBN but them, but the hosts do, so I hope that's not an issue. Keep your PayPal balance zero or nothing, low or nothing, if you can help it, if you're going to use it, until you find other options. I think I've seen Pyrex before. And then there are other apps, like Venmo and Cash App, so I don't know if there's an option there that someone at RBN wants to set up, or just so you folks know, you can do that. PayPal already took away the option to be able to transfer without a fee from friend to friend, so other options are looking more appealing. And I'm going to play some clips starting for most of the beginning of the show, but I'll get into a lot of news. There's a lot of news I want to get covered and cover a lot of ground today. And if you'd like to call in on anything that we've talked about on this show, past shows, anything you think is relevant geopolitically, worldwide, in the news, you think is underreported, or you want to pick up on a past conversation, feel free to call in. And we'll start with clip number one. That's the last America's Frontline News Roundup by America's Frontline Doctors, October 28th, 2022. That's at americasfrontlinenews.com if you'd like to check out their very informative, condensed weekly report on all things, including things non-medical. So when you're ready, please, Sam, play that clip.
I'm Mordechai Sones, and this is your weekly roundup from America's Frontline News. Jews and Friends of Israel have organized a campaign for Congress to request clarification from Israel about its policy on torture. This, after Israel's Supreme Court last month upheld a murder conviction based solely on a confession obtained after 19 days of extreme mental and physical torture, all the while refusing the 21-year-old suspect's requests to speak with a lawyer and to remain silent. Campaign organizers urged American citizens to contact their representatives and to let Israeli Ambassador to the U.S. Michael Herzog know that torture is always unacceptable and to demand its immediate ban. Frontline News spoke to journalist and author Steve Rodan for more.
The importance of the case of Amiram Ben-Uliel cannot be dismissed in America. There are more than 1 million Americans in Israel, and the fact that the Israeli Supreme Court has essentially legalized torture means that everybody is vulnerable. And by the way, a minor who had been involved in the case, who was tortured, was an American. So it is up to Americans to tell their members of Congress, please look into this, because if it's true, this must stop now. Why Congress? Because every year the House and Senate raise their hands for so-called military and security aid to Israel. That aid allowed the officers of the secret police, their facilities, and whatever surveillance equipment they had to conduct torture on innocent people. This is an extremely important matter, not only for Israelis, and unfortunately the Israelis have no voice, but for the Americans. So please reach out to your member of Congress. This is a matter of vital concern.
Journalist and author Steve Rodan. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton last week announced a lawsuit against Google for allegedly gathering unauthorized biometric data in violation of Texas law. The complaint alleges Google has been using sophisticated technology to capture and store faces and voice prints of Google users and non-users, including both adults and children. The purported purpose is to enhance Google's technology. In the complaint, the Texas Attorney General says, all across the state, everyday Texans have become unwitting cash cows being milked by Google for profits. The Pfizer Corporation Thursday announced it is raising the price of its COVID-19 injections by 400% as its contract with the federal government nears its end. While the government currently pays Pfizer about $30 per dose, that price will skyrocket to between $110 and $130 per dose, reports Reuters. The federal government's COVID-19 public emergency is set to expire next year, which would deprive Pfizer of lucrative government contracts. In its most recent deal announced in June, the government paid Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech $3.2 billion for 105 million doses. A New York judge Tuesday struck down New York City's vaccine mandate for city workers. That mandate saw approximately 1,430 workers terminated in February 2022. According to the Richmond County Supreme Court ruling, all city employees are allowed back to work and entitled to back pay. In his ruling, Judge Ralph Parizo slammed the mandate, calling it arbitrary and capricious. Justice Parizo noted that while the exemptions were being considered, the employees remained unvaccinated and on full duty, showing the vaccination was not as urgent and the employees not as dangerous as the city claimed. In related news, Alberta Premier Danielle Smith Saturday issued a public apology to those who refused the COVID-19 shots and were persecuted by the government for their choice. Smith made the remarks in response to a question by Rebel News. Premier Smith said, "I can apologize right now. I'm deeply sorry for anyone who was inappropriately subjected to discrimination as a result of their vaccine status." She concluded, "I'm deeply sorry for any government employee who was fired from their job because of their vaccine status, and I welcome them back if they want to come back." Meanwhile, Australia's vaccine injury compensation budget is expected to expand 80-fold, from $609,000 to $50 million by July 2023. So far, only 2% of Australians who have claimed COVID-19 vaccine injuries have been compensated. Australia could now expect at least 200,000 vaccine injury complaints. Australia's vaccine injury program is set to expire on April 17, 2024. A campaign canvasser for Florida Republican U.S. Senator Marco Rubio Sunday was brutally attacked by four men while knocking on doors and handing out flyers. The canvasser was wearing a DeSantis hat and Rubio t-shirt. The 27-year-old suffered internal bleeding, a broken jaw, and will need facial reconstructive surgery. Last month, two volunteers for Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott's gubernatorial campaign were attacked when an unidentified man chased them and tried to drag them out of their car, breaking both side mirrors in the process. That incident came days after a 41-year-old North Dakota man who murdered a teenager for being Republican was set free on bail. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon Friday was sentenced to 4 months in jail and a $6,500 fine for defying a January 6 Select Committee subpoena, refusing to appear for questioning. U.S. District Judge Carl J. Nichols has stayed Bannon's sentence while he appeals. Bannon was indicted in July and convicted by a jury of 2 counts of contempt of court. Following the conviction, Bannon scorned committee members for not hearing testimony about, quote, what's driving this, the total and complete illegitimacy of Joe Biden. Bannon continued, Trump won. Joe Biden's illegitimate. 50% of the American people believe that today. The U.S. State Department is allotting $20,600 to a gender disorientation organization in Ecuador, making the South American nation the first country to receive a U.S. cash injection for the specific purpose of promulgating gender disorientation. The funds will go towards hosting 3 workshops, 12 so-called drag theater performances, and the production of a 2-minute documentary, all to promote what the State Department is calling diversity and inclusion. The money will be given to what's being called a cultural center supported by the U.S. Embassy and Consulate in Ecuador. The grant is just one of several public diplomacy programs that aim to influence foreign publics in the name of national security. The State Department did not respond to a Frontline News request for data supporting their claim of an alarming and deadly rise in violence against Ecuadorians. Meanwhile, hundreds of concerned Dearborn, Michigan parents Thursday attended a school board meeting to express their objections to books inculcating sexually deviant themes selected for the school library. Parents of diverse cultural and religious backgrounds united on behalf of their children. Thursday's meeting followed one on Monday that was shut down by officials over what were claimed to be fire code safety concerns due to the large number of attendees. However, some saw in the canceled meeting an attempt to silence the concerned parents. One parent who spoke out Thursday night called the meeting closure a violation of Michigan's legal code that states it is the natural and fundamental right of parents and legal guardians to determine and direct the care, teaching, and education of their children. For more top news and analysis, go to our website at americasfrontlinenews.com. You've been listening to Mordechai Sones at America's Frontline Doctors Frontline News.
And that was America's Frontline Doctors, America's Frontline News, headed by Simone Gold, who fortunately was released from federal prison early for her January 6th speaking, free speech, and not offending anybody, not so much as inconveniencing anybody or violating any laws, but she plea bargained in fear, and that's why she spent that time in federal prison to her false charges. Let's get next to if we have clip 2 ready to play. Otherwise, we'll get into some other news. We'll get into playing some excerpts of the last McCullough Report, Dr. McCullough's weekly podcast, October 24th, 2022. And the first clip that we have is his interview recently on Newsmax. So if that clip is ready, please roll it. Otherwise, I'll get into some other news. Not sure if Skype is alerted Sam there in the control room. But speaking of Australia, let's get into that. That was mentioned earlier. Let me pull up this next article from the Gateway Pundit, October 28th, 2022. And... or pardon me, I don't think it was mentioned earlier. Maybe I'm confusing myself. Just moments before the show, listening to the McCullough Report and him talking about it. So that was it, I believe. So, yeah, I was listening to the last segment. We hope to get to today for you to listen to of the McCullough Report, where he's talking about the new book or the new documentary based on the book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., The Real Anthony Fauci. So that movie, I know it's been available for free. You go to childrenshealthdefense.org. It's been recently available for watching for free and features Dr. Peter McCullough. But let me get this article ready to show up on the screen. from the Gateway Pundit. Okay, Sam, I got your message. You'll let me know when it's ready. Okay, then get over to this article. Speaking of, one of the biggest Commonwealth countries, and by the way, as I've been praying, God save the Commonwealth from the Queen, and I hope the Commonwealth isn't in even worse hands now, but one of them is Australia, and of course New Zealand being the worst in terms of most strict in regulations. This article from the Gateway Pundit, huge COVID vaccine injury payments explode in Australia, more than 80 times higher than last year by Jim Hoft in October 28th, 2022. Showed up on the screen. And I'll start out. COVID vaccine shots were mandatory in Australia. If you didn't get the shot, you didn't work. The Australian government is now paying for your funeral if the COVID vaccine kills you. Now, how nice is that? That's via this is via Tommy Robinson on Telegram, and pulling up these links here. I have to go through this clicking process for. Okay, Sam, I read you. Let me pull up. I'm sorry, these references here. I'm trying to get my mouse to function between the two screens here, so. Tommy Robinson posts deceased COVID-19 vaccine recipient payments and funeral costs over at Services Australia, their government website, servicesaustralia.gov.au. In cases involving death, you may be eligible for payment and support for funeral costs. We'll make this payment to the deceased's estate. Proof you need, it goes on to... And I'll just cut that short. And then what proof you need that your COVID-19 vaccine death claim is valid. Just showing that briefly on the screen from the Services Australia website. There are instructions and forms for family members to fill out if the forced experimental COVID vaccines kill someone in your family. Deceased COVID-19 vaccine recipient payments and funeral costs. And I have just read that that part. They're showing it up again on the screen. A new report revealed that the payouts for COVID death and injury exploded in fiscal year 2022 and 2023. So far, the government has paid out $76.9 million, equating to 3,845 Tier 1 claims. News.com.au reports, quote, payouts for COVID-19 vaccine injuries are set to explode more than 80-fold to nearly $77 million by July next year. Today's budget papers reveal the figure was quietly buried in the Services Australia portfolio budget statement in a table detailing third-party payments from the agency, quote, on behalf of other entities, end quote. Services Australia administers this scheme for the Health Department. The table reveals that in 2021-2022, the COVID vaccine claims scheme paid out just $937,000, which would work out to about 47 people if they each received the maximum Tier 1 amount of $20,000. But in 2022-23, that amount is estimated to blow out this to $76.9 million, equating to 3,845 Tier 1 claims, end quote. And so that finishes that article, and screen here, folks. Sorry, I'm slow rolling on the audio. Folks listening to the audio can't tell. I'm a little bit slow sometimes trying to get the video to work here. And there you go from one of the least compassionate countries during the COVID lockdowns, Australia. Seems like their new social program is a steam valve, perhaps, so people will keep quiet, I wonder. if there's an incentive for that. So let's now get to back to this clip number two. Stan has ready to play. This is going to be just about 11 minutes. Last McCullough Report, October 24th, 2022, Art and Science of Medicine versus False Government Narrative. And this is his interview, his recent interview on Newsmax that I'll let him interview. Sam, please play that clip.
Contributor to the McCullough Report, someone who I interviewed, and a well-respected colleague, Dr. Aaron Cariotti.
In 2020, we conducted the largest medical experiment on human subjects in world history without informed consent. That experiment failed. Thousands lost their livelihoods. I myself was fired for refusing the vaccine. Social distancing encouraged citizens to view friends and neighbors as potential threats. One quarter of young adults in America contemplated suicide during lockdowns in June 2020 alone, while anxiety disorders tripled and depression disorders quadrupled. Some would call that unprecedented. Let's take a look at just three mistakes in the public health response to the COVID pandemic. Number one, lockdowns. Lockdowns were never a part of conventional public health. Confining entire populations doesn't work. Yet this approach proceeded without debate. The result? According to a Johns Hopkins review study, enormous economic and social costs and little to no effect on the spread of COVID. Lockdowns significantly impacted blue-collar workers who were unable to work from home, resulting in supply chain disruptions. 30 million Americans filed for unemployment in the first 2 months of 2020. By the end of May 2021, there were 40% fewer small businesses open nationwide than at the start of 2020. Homelessness rose as 11 million households owed $70 billion in back rent. Lines to food banks stretched while incomes shrank. In response, governments pumped trillions of relief dollars into their economies, resulting in massive inflation and untold consequences that will last decades. Mistake number two, vaccine mandates. The narrative for vaccine mandates had three parts. First, it was safe for everyone. Second, it was necessary for everyone. Third, and this point is key, any hesitancy was a PR problem to be overcome. Thus, if you questioned any part of this narrative, you were banished, both socially and professionally. In many countries and states, vaccine passports were required to do things like travel, eat in a restaurant, attend a public gathering, or even return to our own country. Even some religious authorities adopted vaccine mandates and punished anyone as heretics who questioned their open discrimination against those who, for reasons of conscience or otherwise, requested an accommodation. In any other time, we would have immediately revolted in response to these draconian measures. But this was deemed okay, even necessary, because we were told that enforced vaccines were the only way back to a normal life, something that subsequent waves of the virus and vaccine boosters made a perpetually moving target. Throughout all of this, we saw the most sinister mistake of all, the deployment of fear, stoked by 24/7 news reports tracking case counts and COVID deaths. The populace cowered at home in fear. Meanwhile, private health insurance companies doubled their earnings on money they had not spent on patient care. And data that might reduce our fear of COVID was withheld by public health agencies like the CDC. This led to broad distrust of the scientific community and of our public health leaders in general. Americans were scared, alone, and angry. And that's how it was engineered to be. An entire population moved not by data or reason, but by psychological manipulation. Free people, acting together, must clearly demonstrate that there are strict limits to what citizens will accept under the rubric of a public health emergency. In the wake of the COVID pandemic, reestablishing healthcare privacy, conscience rights, open scientific debate, and respect for alternative views must be a priority as we look to have essential and robust public discussion about these policy issues. There are human and spiritual goods that should never be surrendered, especially under extraordinary circumstances. When and if another pandemic happens, we must be ready, not just with medicines and vaccines, but with a humane approach to social, economic, and health policy that is worthy of the people that these policies are supposed to protect. I'm Dr. Aaron Cariotti, a physician and director of the Bioethics and American Democracy Program at the Ethics and Public Policy Center for Edify.
Wow, that was terrific. Aaron Cariotti, a personal friend, freedom fighter, physician in California. So important because California appears to be the vanguard for even more dark, draconian, and totalitarian measures. Let's pick up with Amanda Brillhante and Carl Higbee on Wake Up America.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has recently signed a bill into law that looks to punish doctors who spread misinformation about COVID-19 to their patients, setting up a dangerous and possibly unconstitutional precedent while doing so.
Here to discuss the author of The Courage to Face COVID-19, Dr. Peter McCullough. Right, doctor, let's break this down, because my concern over this is doctors are now disincentivized from having a dissenting opinion. Now, historically, some of the greatest innovations in history, including figuring out the earth is no longer flat, have come from dissenting opinions.
And we're going to pause the McCullough Report right there. The last McCullough Report. We'll pick it up when we get back to the Race and Face and Radio Show. I'm Chris Snyder. We'll be right back.
What they got? My brain's too fried, so I give it no thought. Because the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're going to pay for me.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turned around. I see a glimpse of the recognition, but it's too little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake. What I mean is why?
Welcome back to Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner, and we will resume with the most published scientist doctor on COVID, Dr. Peter McCullough, on the last McCullough Report, his replaying of his interview on Newsmax, which he will finish up this clip here in just a few moments or minutes with him, announcing the details of that Newsmax interview and those who interviewed him, so I'll let him do all the announcing here. Sam, please resume that clip.
How dangerous is this to the medical community?
I think it's extraordinarily dangerous to the community and to civil liberties at large. You know, the word misinformation has been around since the 1500s. It's been used heavily during propaganda campaigns in history. And then in 2018, before COVID-19, the New York Post had misinformation as word of the year because of its use in partisan politics and social media. Misinformation doesn't exist in medical textbooks. It doesn't have any role in medicine. And as you correctly pointed out, there simply are data and scientific observations and a multitude of interpretations or opinions. When patients see doctors, they get opinions and second opinions. Misinformation doesn't exist. This law is unconstitutional. It hasn't gone into effect yet, and it needs to be struck down.
Yeah.
You have an excellent point about how when patients go to a doctor, they don't just usually get one opinion. They'll go and get multiple opinions here. But doctor, who is making these laws? Who is deciding how this is going to be dictated?
You know, that hasn't been disclosed at all. The only terms that have been used is that there must be some type of consensus, that doctors must follow a consensus. Consensus, they're slow to form. This has been a rapidly evolving pandemic. Still, the information continues to evolve quickly. You know, one of the most clear examples is the virus has become much more mild. So what a doctor tells a patient with respect to prognosis and treatment now is very different than what they said a few years ago.
Yeah, that is the crazy thing to me. And if you have, I mean, who knows? It could be unelected bureaucrats. It could be elected officials making policy that's saying, you know, we are going to go with this. All right. And if you're a doctor and you're like, hold on a sec, I got some new data that says, no, I mean, let's take masks, for example. That was like widely accepted that masks were going to stop the spread of this. And it turns out now that masks have virtually no measurable effect on this pandemic at all, and it had negative effects on our children learning. So how do we evolve in the medical field if we can't ask questions?
You know, that's completely correct. You know, medical care is so complicated with respect to COVID. For instance, we have EbuShield, a long-acting monoclonal antibody that can be used in place of a vaccine. So doctors have to help patients make the choice. We have a whole array of drugs. The CDC recently said that masks, the really only role in healthcare is when we're directly dealing with COVID. We don't have to wear masks in other situations. This is so rapidly evolving. There is no way that a medical board can actually craft a narrative and try to have doctors follow it and then penalize them if the doctors are not on a specific line. The law is actually now subject of a lawsuit. Two prominent doctors, Dr. Barkey and Dr. Mark McDonald in California, are suing. Other doctors should. It hasn't gone into effect yet, and it should be struck down.
Yeah.
Doctor, what is the response from the medical community, and are other doctors saying this is unconstitutional?
They're saying it's unconstitutional, but I can tell you doctors are trying to protect their interests. Many doctors say they're going to leave California. This is the last straw, so there's going to be even a greater constraint, particularly on primary care. The other thing doctors are saying is that COVID is simply going to be taken out of their practice. They're not going to deal with COVID at all, post-COVID vaccine issues. They're simply not going to be dealing with COVID. Patients are going to be left without care.
Yeah, well, this is the problem is like our Reagan used to say our well-meaning liberal friends. I don't think they're well-meaning anymore. I think that this is about, like you were saying, control, not actual solutions. But it's at the end of the day, it's we, the patients, that are getting affected by this because doctors have to sustain a living, obviously. If you were sitting there on the board of these decisions, what do you tell Gavin Newsom? What do you tell the legislature?
I simply have to tell them that doctors need the complete freedom of their profession, just like lawyers, engineers, and others do, that once the government starts to insert itself into what can be said to patients, we've stepped over a line. It's actually a line of people are very concerned about totalitarianism, this authoritarian type of approach where the government now is influencing, violating human rights through medicine. Doctors and also nurse practitioners and PAs now are becoming instruments of government's overreach in violation of civil rights. Doctors, in a sense, are becoming state actors. There's a state actor doctrine that says when the government tries to use a private entity, that private entity must ensure civil rights. So now doctors are actually caught in the middle.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like, and Gavin Newsom, that is likely probably the 2024 Democratic nominee. Yikes.
Dr. Peter McCullough, thanks for joining us this morning and for your insight, as always.
Wow, that was a fantastic interchange. That was myself and Amanda Borjanti, Carl Higbee from Newsmax.
You can continue rolling that clip, Sam. That was, I think, supposed to play a little bit longer until 12 minutes, 19 seconds. Unless you've ended there. I don't think you have. But unless you're
Erica,
shuttling to the...
You can see the tensions.
There we go. Yeah, through 1219, if it's not already there, or did we get there already?
Building over California AB 2098, signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom, but it doesn't go into effect until the first of the year in January 2023. So there is a lawsuit that was filed by Dr. Jeff Barkey and Dr. Mark McDonald, as I indicated. On the backside of the McCullough Report, we will have Dr. Jeff Barkey live, and he will give us an update with an exclusive interview on where we are with that lawsuit and how it's going to impact California patients and physicians. We had a work group meeting at the Pathways Forward retreat in Sedona, and I asked for help from my colleagues about messaging the public, and I'm asking the help from you. What are the best ways to message the public on these issues, these draconian laws going into effect all around COVID-19, around particularly the vaccines? We're hearing word in Australia that, in fact, any mention that the vaccines would not be safe or effective, or any mention about alternative treatment could mean time in prison. We're hearing the same reports, laws being contemplated in Turkey, elsewhere around the world. Well, how can we best message the public on this, on how to resist this or stop these changes. It is impossible for the government to force a narrative. When patients see doctors, they see doctors and doctors render opinions and they get second opinions. Amanda Brilhante picked up on this very nicely. It's an opinion.
Okay, well, we're back here. That's it for the first clip that we have of the last McCullough report. And Sam, we can get to the next clip whenever you're ready, and I'll introduce it when you let me know. You were right, Sam. You cut it off at the right spot the first time. If I didn't catch that message in Skype, I'm not able to follow along on audio as well as I am on video, where I have to keep an eye on it being synchronized. So, otherwise, Sam, let's get into, if you don't think you'll have that ready here, Sam, then get into this next article that ties in. Global excess mortality rates, where's the investigation? By Rob Verkirk, PhD. Are scientists and the media deliberately overlooking COVID-19 vaccines as a possible factor in global excess mortality rates? This is over at Children's Health Defense, the Defender magazine. Children's Health Defense, edited by Robert Kennedy Jr., and the article starts. We have previously pointed to official data in 2021 that shows a temporal, meaning time-related, association between the apparent rises in, quote, excess mortality, end quote, among different age groups and the time each was exposed to COVID-19, quote, genetic vaccines, end quote, here and here. And they give the links. I'll show up on the screen briefly. The first one is feature. The feature is entitled Reject My Cookies Here. But the required cookies, eat them cookies. Latest snapshots of a moving target of a quote-unquote pandemic, part one, October 7th, 2021, over at Alliance for Natural Health International. And the second reference is also at the Alliance for Natural Health International, entitled How Bad Was It? Reflecting on the Last 2 Years, June 2nd, 2022. So by Dr. Rob Verkirk, PhD. Continuing with the article. These data were in plain sight in the public domain, being based on official data from the nearly 30 mainly European countries carried on the EuroMOMO portal. Now, a year on, it's nigh on impossible to hide the fact that in many industrialized countries that went full swing into intense control measures from lockdowns, masks, genetic surveillance, and quote-unquote genetic vaccines, people are dying at unexpectedly high rates. The jabs or boosters may be a factor, but so may a bunch of other things, such as not gaining timely and proper medical attention, psychosocial stress and deprivation, along with a gamut of other potential cofactors. The current apparent excesses in deaths over those that would have been expected is especially unusual, given they have occurred during the Northern Hemisphere summer, when deaths are normally at their lowest, and it is difficult to apportion blame to an invisible virus that on all accounts has lost virulence in its current guise. According to The Guardian, I'll pull up that link. I'll give that link after I read this sentence. Even the UK Health Security Department argues summer heat waves only explained around 7% of the excess mortality in July in England and Wales. And the article is entitled Deaths in England's July Heat Wave, Up 7% on Rest of the Month, dated August 23rd, 2022. I'm not sure if it gives a, often The Guardian doesn't give credit to an author, just a Guardian staff, perhaps. Continuing the article, we have to ask ourselves what's really going on. Are the statistics tricking us, or is there something ominous going on that's not being reported? If the latter, how much effort is going into trying to unearth the causes of these deaths and how many are or could be preventable? From adjusted mortality to excess mortality, the imperfect but perhaps best metric we have. At Alliance for Health International, we've been tracking mortalities in different countries, especially, quote, excess mortalities, end quote, for the last 2.5 years. For example, these two links I'll pull up. Three numbers that may mislead: May 7th, 2020, and Rob Burkhardt, PhD again, and Death in Europe and the U.S. of A., January 14th, 2021. Okay, Sam, I read you there in Skype. Continuing the article, for anyone who might need reminding, quote-unquote, excess deaths is a term used in epidemiology and public health that refers to the number of deaths from all causes beyond what we would have expected to see under, quote-unquote, normal, in this case, the most recent pre-pandemic conditions. Straight all-cause mortality data is not a great metric on its own, as it fails to take account of population size, which is in turn affected by birth rate, death rate, immigration and emigration, or the age structure in a given country. Countries with top-heavy age structures, like many industrialized ones, will have much higher expected mortality rates than those populated mainly by younger age groups, such as so-called, quote, less developed countries, end quote. If a crisis like COVID-19 causes women to give birth to fewer children, owing to the conditions of the crisis, impacts on fertility, or any other cause, unadjusted mortality data per 100,000 population will appear to rise, but this apparent rise is a statistical artifact. And the link referencing COVID-19 causes women to give birth to fewer children. Perhaps they mean the vaccine, because the reference is, here's why, it's the article also, Children's Health Defense, here's why the COVID vaccine should be banned for pregnant women, August 30th, 2022, by Dr. Joseph Mercola. They cite him, and perhaps he took down the article already, as he tends to do. The subtitle, Pfizer Court Ordered Release Data Reveals the Miscarriage Rate Among Women Whose Pregnancy Outcomes Were Known, was 87.5%. The true rate may be higher or lower, as Pfizer did not record or report pregnancy outcomes for 238 of the 274 women known to be pregnant during the trial. We reported on that in passing the show, and I know Dr. Naomi Wolf's new book covers that and much more. Fertility in the COVID shots. We'll pick this up when we get back on Liberation Station Radio Show. Stay tuned.
Well, you do it all the time. You've been messing with my mind. You know you do it all the time.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Get the dagger bone. Get the dagger bone. Everybody scream at school. Better get my pleasure breaking all the rules. Cause lesson one begins when life is cruel. Well, I guess I'm just an educated fool.
Back here, Chris Steiner with the Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm going to pick up this article over at childrenshealthdefense.org, the Defender magazine. childrenshealthdefense.org/defender is where to find that. Entitled Global Excess Mortality Rates, Where's the Investigation? Are scientists and the media deliberately overlooking COVID-19 vaccines as a possible factor in global excess mortality rates? By Rob Verkirk, PhD, September 21st, 2022. And I have to go find where I just was, but just a moment. Then we'll go back to the McCullough Report, Sam. The next clip on the McCullough Report after I finish up this article here. And
let's get real. Let's get loud. On America.
Now, Sam. Not just yet. this article for the continuity of the show here. Want to finish up and show some graphs on the screen that Facebook camera will show quite well. Unlike the Skype camera, even though they're the same model camera, I'm not sure why the same settings yield poor results on the Skype video. So Facebook video, if you want to tune in and follow along in the graphs, a couple graphs in this article I'll be showing in just a moment. Continuing the article, factors like age, population size, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. As I put this up on the screen, pardon me, folks. Let me just restart that paragraph. Factors like age, population size, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status can, of course, be standardized or adjusted for. But you still don't get a broad picture of what's going on at a population, national, or international scale, because your adjustments have forced you into looking at specific segments of the population. Excess mortality is widely recognized as one of the most important markers of crisis-related changes in mortality. This is because it compares mortalities for a given population size and structure in the crisis against those that would be expected in the same country, derived usually from the average of the most recent few, often five, last 5 years, not last five non-crisis years. The fact that this metric doesn't get affected by things like how or why COVID-19 deaths are recorded on death certificates, and it is specific to the particular demographics and age structure of the country in question, has led to it becoming widely regarded as a robust marker, even a gold standard for assessing the impact of the COVID-19 crisis. Referencing, I'll get back on this article here with references. This is from Sage Journal's Excess Mortality, the Gold Standard in Measuring the Impact of COVID-19 Worldwide, September 10th, 2020. And we'll be back for the second and final hour of Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner here with you. The site is theliberationstation.com. Be right back after these short messages.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.